Weekdays from 5 a.m. Breakfast with Richard King.
Tuesday morning. Hope the weather's going to be good in your neck of the woods. We had a big storm that whipped through the Hunter yesterday, but it went around my area up the east end of Newcastle. Somebody who will be in town, and I just incorrectly, I suddenly realised, called him David Proud. David Little Proud, who's the Nationals leader, who's coming to town today and is on the line. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Probably one of the kinder things people have called me, mate, but don't feel too bad.
Well, you're a proud Queenslander, but you support a Sydney team in the NRL. I can't work that one out, David.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Bulldogs man because I grew up in a little place called Chinchilla, and we used to only get ABC TV, and Sydney League was all we got to see.
Right.
And so Chinchilla Bulldogs, I just followed the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, and even when the Broncos came, even though I'm a Queenslander, I'm loyal to my football team, so proud Bulldog.
Yeah, well, and you're playing Manly on Saturday night, so I hope you win that one, David.
I think everyone does.
You're coming to the Hunter today. What's the purpose of the visit?
Yeah, look, I'm coming here with Senator Ross Cadell, who's your local senator, national senator, and Ash Barnum, who's our candidate in Cessnock. We're looking at Kurri and the project out there and the delay that's going to cause some real concern. And it's all been delayed because of ideology. And we just want this government, the federal government, to get on with the job of building it. We've got an energy crisis. We've got a cost of living crisis. And it's all because ideology is getting in the road of practical reality. So this is all for gas, but Chris Bowen and Anthony Albanese called this project in when they got into government and wanted it to become a hydrogen hub. Now, hydrogen has still got a long way to go. In fact, they want it to be a full hydrogen hub, but they're trying to get it to at least 30%. Now, that's going to take big delays, but even just to get the gas, they've caused an over 12-month delay because of this call-in, which means we're losing Liddell in about a month's time. You're going to lose 13% of New South Wales energy market when that power station shuts. So your energy bills are going to go up. It's just simple economics, principle of demand supply. Supply goes down, prices go up. And we need more gas. We need more energy into the system. And what's happened is that this real-life episode of Utopia that Chris Bowen and Anthony Albanese have unleashed on the people of Newcastle means that not only are the jobs not here, but you're going to pay more for your energy. So we're just saying, let's get on with the job. Gas, renewables can't work without gas. So I come from Queensland where that gas can come from. So I've got a vested interest in Kurri getting up and going, because the gas that's drilled and the jobs that are created in my part of the world in Queensland will be right into here, will come to Kurri. So I need this as much as the people of the Hunter do. So I'm passionate about making sure we'll work constructively, but when you've got ideology stopping things and costing jobs and costing you more in energy, someone has to speak out, and we're just saying the government, stop the ideology, get on with jobs, get on with creating the energy market that we need rather than the ideology that doesn't match the practical reality of what's coming out of your wallet.
Right. Look, I spoke to the former head of Snowy Hydro and Red Energy, Paul Broad, on a number of occasions, and he was assuring me that these gas peaking plants, which is the one being built at Kurri, they were easy to build. They, could get the components in, and it would definitely be finished before Liddell shut down. Well, it's now 12 months, I think, at least. It's not going to be finished till, I think, late next year. Is that because, Labor, the new federal government, have slowed it down, or other issues, David?
No, it's because Labor wanted to change it from a simple gas power station to a hydrogen one. Now, hydrogen's a long way off.
Yes.
And because they called the project in, so the minister has every right, the new government gets to change the direction of the country, and they changed the direction of their energy market. And what they said is Chris Bowen doesn't like gas. He wants it all to be renewables. He wants hydrogen and all the renewables. And that's great. I'm not against renewables, but you have to have this thing called Fermi. And because he didn't allow it just to be a straight gas power plant, he's now wants it to be hydrogen. It's delayed the project. It delayed it from being built. And so Snowy Hydro were spot on. This could have been built. They're being built all the time. But when you call it in and want to put new technology over it, you delay the construction.
Right. Well, look,
and that's the problem.
As I understand it, gas being connected to this plant at Kurri is still a long way off, and the expectation is it could be running on diesel initially.
Well, yeah, this is where ideology doesn't meet practical reality, because you've still got to be able to turn your lights on. The problem is, you'll be able to turn your lights on, but you're going to pay a lot more for it because they haven't thought about putting more supply. And I can tell you, we're prepared to drill the holes in Queensland and send the gas here. In fact, there's a billion-dollar project that has just been shelved in my electorate from Senex that was going to put 60 petajoules, which is 10% of the East Coast market. They have canned that investment. They're going to double it to 120 petajoules because of the change of government and their price caps. So they're not going to drill holes.
Right.
But we're prepared to drill holes and put it into the East Coast. If the government shows some signs that they're interested in gas, they'll need gas to make renewables work. We all want renewables to work, but we need gas to firm it. That's simple physics.
All right. Look, and again, talking to Paul Broad when he was the head of Snowy Hydro and Red Energy, and I asked him if he felt that these gas peaking plants should be built around the country, and he said, yes, definitely. Are you of the opinion we should be building more of these gas peaking plants?
Well, we have to. It's the only way to make renewables work. And I think renewables, they will continue to come. We've got to understand there'll be a lot of transmission lines that will go across a lot of properties for that. But renewables are coming, but you can't make renewables work without a firming source. And that firming source is gas, because you can turn gas on and off. Coal can still do it, but gas is one that you can turn on and off. So you need firming. He's spot on, because that's how our energy system has worked. And despite all the rhetoric, that's how it continued to work.
10 to 8, daylight saving time, my guest, Nationals leader David Littleproud. A lot's been said about Snowy Hydro. It seems to have come to a grinding halt. I think the boring machine's called Florence, and I think the expectation is it would have gone a long way. Apparently it's only gone about 100 metres and come to a grinding halt. Given it was started by, coalition government some time ago under Malcolm Turnbull, do you think it's a good project, Snowy Hydro 2.0?
Well, you have to look at return on investment. This is Australian taxpayers' money. So I'll be very interested to see where the review of this project comes to. And I know that all sides have wanted it to work because it is a renewable source of energy. But it has to be practical, it has to be able to work, and it has to be affordable. I don't know how a drill gets bogged. But anyway, that's beyond my pay grade. But we need to look at our whole energy system. That's why when I became leader, I tried to be constructive, and I said to the Prime Minister, let's have a national energy summit. Let's look at all the energy sources, have an honest conversation about what we should have, and whether that's with the renewables, with coal, with gas, and even the emerging technology of small-scale modular nuclear that may be something we can look at in time down the track. So let's have that conversation in a mature way, bring Australians into our trust, have that conversation about what it should be, and whether Snowy Hydro, whether the billions of dollars we're pumping into that should go into something that is more affordable, reliable, and still reduces our emissions.
The voice and the constitutional recognition for Aboriginal Australians is a very hot topic at the moment. You and your party were very quick last year to come out and say you wouldn't be supporting the yes vote. Given that most people are saying and have been saying, look, we don't know enough about this to be able to make a decision, do you think your party went a bit early on the decision to not support it?
No, because we've seen enough of the detail that the Prime Minister's put up. This is going to be a representative body. And there is no malice intent of where we've got to. It's just that we have lived experience. We've had a representative body before. And let me tell you that rural and remote Indigenous Australians who the National Party represent are the consequence of that. And the disadvantage out there is the consequence of that representative body. It didn't work. And you're asking one or two Indigenous Australians to represent hundreds of communities across hundreds of thousands of square kilometres and to come to Canberra. It doesn't work. What needs to happen is Canberra needs to go to them. The bureaucracy needs to go out and to sit around the campfires, to sit in the town halls, and to come up with bespoke solutions to each of those communities. Because the challenges in Alice Springs are different to what I saw in Carnarvon in Western Australia. And you can't have a single national approach to that. And you already have over 1,000 representative bodies to government already. And the government solution to close the gap is add another one. With all great intent, and I have all respect for the Prime Minister and what he's trying to achieve, it's just that where the most disadvantage is, it won't close the gap. And that's why we've experienced, and so we look through this through a unique lens, and that's why we got to a position we couldn't support it. Had the Prime Minister come to us and said, we want to give constitutional recognition through the preamble, Indigenous Australians were here first, and we're a better country together, I sense my party room would have supported that. But when there's this mechanism, this layer of bureaucracy another layer of bureaucracy on top of the 1,000 that are already there. It's not going to work, and we'll be the ones that are still representing those people won't shift the dial in closing that gap for. But we should also be proud, and it's not all doom and gloom out there either. I think that's an important message for people to understand. There are proud Indigenous communities that have really shifted the dial in closing their gap, and it is not general demise in rural and remote Australia with Indigenous Australians. They've done a lot and come a long way. We should be proud of it, but there are some areas where you just need bespoke solutions, not another layer of bureaucracy.
It was 12 months ago that Lismore and the Northern Rivers area of New South Wales experienced the worst flood in history. You were on Sky News yesterday being critical of the recovery. What should be done better in terms of the recovery for that area, David?
It's just quicker. You just need to have the courage and conviction to make a decision. And this is the thing. You've got to understand, and Murray Watt, who was the Shadow Emergency Service Minister when I was the Federal Emergency Services Minister, was very quick to criticise. But you've got to understand that people heal at different paces and different speeds, and some don't heal at all. And so some people aren't in a position to make a decision at the moment. But those that are, they want to get on with it. So you've got to have a bureaucracy that's agile enough to move with it. And if that means they want to lift their house or they want to sell their house back to the government and move somewhere else, well, you've got to have the program ready for them to do it. So the government's job is to have the programs up and going so that when people are ready to take that up, they can and they will. But it will take time. But the fact that we're still working through some of these programs is a failure, particularly of state and federal governments. And the federal government, who is cutting most of the check on this, has a responsibility to make sure they're there. As Murray Watt said to me when the bushfires rolled out about these programs, we're the ones that cut the check. He should be there making sure that these programs are up and going. And so when people are ready to heal, they are ready to move forward, they can take these programs with both hands and get on with their lives.
David, thank you very much for your time this morning. Enjoy your stay in my neck of the woods today. It's an interesting topic where we go re-energy, and certainly the price of energy at the moment is something affecting all of us. Just finally, you are a Queenslander. At the start, we said you're a Bulldog supporter. How do you think your team's going to go this season?
Mate, I got Bolshy last year and thought we'd make top eight. I'm still confident. I reckon Gus has done a pretty good job in getting us to where we are. I think we kick out now in it with Matty Burton. I'm pretty confident we might make the eight this year. So premiership next year.
All right. Good luck. And thanks again for your time this morning. Enjoy your stay in my neck of the woods today, David.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. David Littleproud, Nationals leader. He's a Queensland MP, obviously, but he's a Canterbury Bulldog supporter.